Hello and welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. We are in a very important series, and last week we ran out of time. I did not do so well with monitoring the time. I kind of got caught up and lost in the topic and in the conversation. So we're going to move along tonight. We are probably not going to keep you that long tonight. But do want to move forward into tonight's topic. Before doing that, just a few reminders. If you're listening online, please remember that you can submit your questions or comments online only if you are a registered follower of the show. If you're not, then as I suggested last week, it may be better just for you this week to just call in 818-691-7406, and that is to make a comment or ask a question, and you can register at a later time. If you are listening by phone, you do select the number 1 only if you have a question or a comment. You do not have to do that at the beginning of the show. You can do that any time during the show, and it will notify us here so that we can pull you in, and I will identify you. Either Tika or I will identify you. Tika's here in the studio as well, here for the show tonight as well. Yep. And sorry, guys, I did that last week. I don't know why that's happening. But we will identify you by bringing you in with your area code and the last 4 digits of your number that you are calling from. So if you're calling from 901, I'll say 901, and your last 4 is 2222, that's how I will identify that I am bringing you in. So keep that in mind. Again, we are in a series of what's really going on, and I'm going to be candidly honest with you all tonight. There are things going on in my life, and the devil really is doing his job. And if people say, and I've been reminded today, that if you are trying to do right, if you are trying to live your life right, that he's coming. Satan is coming, and I just believe it. He is full force in my life, but I'm still, as we prayed before we came on the show, I'm standing and believing in God for my life, and not looking at circumstances. Now that being said, that does not mean I'm not going to deal with what's going on and hit it full force. But life happens. We've had that topic. Life happens, but how do we respond to life? And I think this is so ironic, and as I thought more about, you know, what was going on in my life, and I thought, wow, how timely it is for Satan to show up as he does, and he really does come to rob, steal, kill, and whatever else you want to throw in there. But I'm going to stand firm on our show last week, the week before, prayer, faith, and not looking at circumstances. And believing that whatever goes on in your life, in my life, that if you know without a doubt that you love God and that you are called according to his purpose, and that's between you and God. But if you know that, then you certainly know that all things work to the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And there is no doubt in my mind that I'm in that number. So if there is doubt in your mind, then get to a place where you are for sure of that. And that does not mean we're always at a place of perfectness, because none of us are perfect. I'll be the first one to tell you, I disappoint myself daily. But be for God's grace for me in my life. In every situation that happens, I'm going to look at how can I grow from this. How can I grow through what I go through? I am so loving that phrase. this topic on love and going back to prayer, going back to faith. I would love to go back and talk about those again, because I do know more and more every day that we do need to pray more. We need to have faith when we pray. We need to pray with expectation, believe in God's word. But I'm going to ask yourself this. When you are praying, are you expecting? Because there are many times, as I said, that I'll pray and I'm just as surprised as anyone else is when it happens. Pray with expectation. You have faith. In order to do that, we have to know God's word. Speaking on love tonight, we asked the question last week, do you really love yourself? Many people will quickly answer that question well, and sometimes defensively. Yeah, I know I love myself, without a doubt. You know, but at the end of the day, the same question for God. We say that we love God, but does our actions line up? Does our life line up? And some people may think you're putting too much on living right and this kind of thing. Well, I say differently. I say what is happening today is that we're being coached that we can do what we want, say what we want, when we want, and how we want, with no conviction and no regard to God's word. What God says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so we should not be the same today as we were yesterday. And it might take all of us a little time to get there. We should be loving different. We should be living differently. I have learned so much about love, or so much about what I thought love was in reading about this. And as silly as that sounds, even to myself, I'm 44 years old, and you think all this time you've been loving right, you know, that you've been doing it so right. But I haven't. I've realized that I've put conditions on love, on the people that I say I love. It's conditioned. It's based on, and I'm going to read a passage, but I'll be honest with you. It is in most cases based on how they love me, what they say to me, what they do to me, what they don't do to me. But if God treated me that way, if God loved me based on what I did, didn't do, what I said, what I didn't say, how I lived my life, he'd write me off. He'd write me off. I'm just keeping it real today. I want to start something, and I want you all, if you're listening, if you did not get a chance to go back and listen to the show on prayer and faith, last week we talked some about love, but we surely ran out of time, so I'm going to spend some more time on love. Tika's here, and she has some things to share as well. And then we're going to go into family. And this is the show tonight where I'm going to be candidly honest with you. I'm dealing with issues with family. Family is supposed to be your support, who you can run to, you know. But this has been the story of my life, and I'm bringing it forward tonight. And I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm sure that I'm not the only one that goes through ups and downs with their families. But people, it is time to pull together. We are sending kids out in the world who feel they don't have their father's love. Most homes are being, children are being raised by one parent home. And it's not just mothers now. You have fathers that are raising kids because mothers are walking away. And that used to not happen. A mother would not turn away from her child. We have mothers who are choosing, I just can't do that. I need to do me, basically, and walking away from kids. What do you think that does to a kid when you send them out in the world when they feel like I don't have the love of my mother, my father, my family? What kind of love will they expect from the world that they will trust and receive if they can't get it from the people that brought them into this world, from the people that are connected to the people that brought them in this world? And this is not God's word. This is not God's commandment. One of God's strongest commandments is that we love one another as Christ loved us. Are we doing that? Are you doing that? If so, how? You know, it's noted, and we've said on the show before, that we will go out and love people and treat people better in the streets than we will do for the people that we say we love. So I ask you today, what is love to you? Do you love yourself? Because I really believe that the greatest love of all, and it starts with how you love yourself. I can truly say there was a time in my life that I doubted if I really loved myself. It really was a time where I had to get past some things and through some things and come to a realization that, you know what, it's got to start here. And as I share with you with Raising Brandon, I faked a lot of the things because I was just determined that I will not pass this along to my child. I will not have this, whatever you want to call it, this curse, whatever. I will not repeat this cycle. So Brandon grew up in a home where we said, I'm sorry, if we offended some. I had to go back and say, you know, I'm sorry. Now, I was an adult. Did I have to do that? No. But that was showing Brandon that I respect you. You do have feelings. I'm not right just because I'm grown. I'm not right because I'm your mom. So we shared, I'm sorry. We said, excuse me. We respected each other's space. We respected, you know, even to this day, Brandon comes home and if it's something in my refrigerator, he asks, Mom, can I have this? Does he have to? But no, but it's out of respect. It's respect. And if I go to his house, I would do the same thing. I would have to respect his house. Love is about respect. Love is unconditional. It should not be based on how you love me or if you love me today or if you don't do this. And it's not here today, gone tomorrow. Being a parent was one of the best things that could have happened to me when I think about what love is now. Because being a parent is probably the most unconditional love that I've ever shown. I cannot think of, Brandon can do some things, and Lord knows he has. He's done some things that have made me think, Lord, is this my child? Did I bring the wrong baby home? But boy, do I remember, I have to go back and say, you were 21, you were 20, there's some things that your mama probably said the same thing. So we have to understand, but still, the love I had for my child, it's unconditional. Does that mean I will not get angry with him? Certainly not. So start to think about your life, how you look at love. What is love to you? How do you love? Do you receive love? Are you good at receiving it? Because believe it or not, a lot of people think that they don't deserve love. They don't deserve to be loved. A lot of people don't realize that is part of their issue, but a lot of people struggle with, you know, I really don't deserve it. And again, people, it goes back to upbringing. We really need to show these kids some love. And I'm not talking about spoil them because God knows Brandon was not spoiled. And I know he probably hates this show sometimes, but there's been times where I have, as much as I love Brandon, and those of you who know me, he's been on the other side of my door. I only had to do that once. But he knew then that you will not stay up in here and disrespect this household. I only had to do that once in my lifetime, but I put him on the other side of the door and told him, go where you want to go. Because that was his question. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? Go to the party that you wanted to go to. That's what all of this is about. It was about, I told him he could not go somewhere that he really wanted to go. And I think he felt the need, well, you know, I need to know why. Well, there is no why. And sometimes there is no why. It's just I'm the parent, and I said no, and that's what goes. But now since you want to go there, then I'm going to show you what's really out there so you can leave. But you leave, you walk, you do whatever you need to do to get there. That's love. So I'm not saying we spoil our children or we deal with the people that we love in untruth, because that's a whole lot of mix up in love as well, is that we let things go. You don't address things, which starts to make you feel like you have to withhold stuff in, and that turns into bitterness. So the question, we have a couple of questions tonight, but before Tika jumps in, I want to read something here and a couple of things on love, and then we're going to move into family. And I really, really want you all that are listening tonight, the chat line is open, but for those of you who are listening by phone tonight, and I see we have several of you out there, please come in. You guys have been very quiet in this topic, but I looked out and I realized that we have had so many people tune in to these two shows, almost 600 people. That's an average of 300 per show. And this is the third show, so that's not counting this show. So that's telling me you may not be talking, but you're listening. So if you're listening, please do. If you decide not to talk, then please apply these things to your life. We are living a life that God has not intended for us to live. We are angry. We are discouraged. We are hopeless. We are so lack of faith. You know, we go to church. We read God's word. But what are we doing after that? Because, see, we can go to the building, but we are the church. We are love. We are the faith. We are hope. God's word tells us in everything we do, we should do it to bring glory to him. So we should think about the things that we go through. Maybe it's just a way to bring glory to him. So I'm going to move. I want to share this on love. And, again, the lines are open. So you all, please, I know that you all have something on love. And it could be whatever your situation of love, whether you're having difficulty loving, you questioning, do I really love myself? Do you really know what love is? You know, how are you giving love? How are you receiving love? Is it unconditional? Is it based on what someone does, how they treat, how that person treats you? And we're not talking about just your spouse or your boyfriend. It could be anything that you want to share, because when we open up and share, then it allows people to know that they can open up and share. There is nothing that you have gone through or that I have gone through that someone else has not. Maybe a little differently. Of course, the people are different, but there is nothing that you are going through or have gone through where you are an isolated issue or situation. Never is. This is on love, and this is from the book God's Promises for You. And I'm going to read a few of them from this book, but this one just is labeled love. Our love depends on the receiver of the love. So, and this is just a reading. You apply it to your life. Our love depends on the receiver of the love. Let 1,000 people pass before us, and we will not feel the same about each. Our love will be regulated by their appearance, by their personalities. Even when we find a few people that we like, our feelings will fluctuate. How they treat us will affect how we love them. The receiver regulates our love. Not so with the love of God. We have no charismatic impact on how his love for us is. The love of God is born from within, not from what he finds in us. His love is uncaused and spontaneous. Does he love us because of our goodness, because of our kindness, because of our faith? No, he loves us because of his goodness, his kindness, and his great faith. So I wanted to share that with you for a number of reasons, but the main one is your love dependent upon the receiver? Again, that goes back to how do you love? What is love? I am so big on the definitions. A lot of us think we just know what love is. So if you do, I challenge you. Tell me what is it? How does it affect your life? Is it part of your life? I shared last week that I think we've turned one of the greatest things that God has given us, we've turned it into something so negative. I expressed that I have a friend who has found herself in the midst of love after a long time of not being there, so to speak. Her demeanor, her life has changed. But this is because you have two people that are willing to love each other unconditionally, to commit to loving each other, rather than saying, well, if you don't do this, I'm not going to do this. Well, I'm not going to give you all of me, and so forth. And we do that within our families as well. I am certainly guilty of that. We do that in our families. We do that within our marriages. You know, I had a question posed several months ago. do you think that a spouse is a relative, is a spouse family? And this question came up amongst some friends that were, I guess, having, you know, questions and answers kind of thing, I guess. And, you know, some people said that, no, they didn't look at their spouses as family, and some did. My answer was, I would think that your spouse is more than family. And that's just according to the word. But even a lot of us will mix the two up on that. We put family before our spouses. And I'm talking about that because divorce was one of the things, when we talk about what's really going on, divorce was one of the things that is very important, because there's so much divorce going on. That affects our lives, people, because the children are affected by that. So children learn how to love through how they see us love, how they see their parents love one another. Love is one of God's greatest commandments. Keeping that in mind, are we loving like God directed us to do? God tells us two is better than one. So when two people join together, they should be able to love and do more than they would be able to do by themselves. So Tika has something. You do? Okay. You want to say hi?
Hello, everyone.
I'm going to go to the lines because I just want to see if we do have any questions. The lines are open, guys, so feel free to get in, because I will keep talking. If you don't, share with us what's going on in your life about love. I'd like to know what your definition is about love. If anybody has any comment on what love is to them, and if there's ever been a time where you feel like, because I realize in this that I didn't have a clue on what love really was or is. I didn't have a clue. And it's not just this topic. It's basically over the last few years really growing, because I really do believe when you search for God, and I'm saying search because, of course, I know that God is always there, but we stray away from God. But when I started to look deep within myself, God showed me that I got to let you see you before I can send you out or do anything with you. I really was messed up, and I'm keeping it real, and I'm being so. People looked at me and thought she has it all together, or she had it all together. I knew that I was going to fake it until I make it, and I'm still on my way. I've not made it. I'm still on my way. But when you talk about emotions and things that you go through and that you hold on from childhood, and that's why God's word tells us to respond in truth. We've somehow gotten away, and we think that we should keep a closed mouth and let God handle everything. Sometimes God will tell you to do that, and sometimes you'll tell yourself to do that. But when we don't respond to certain things, we allow people to stay in their mess. Or when we don't address things that children go through or that we have gone through as young adults, then we bring those things into our relationships, into our lives. We're always offended. We're always hurt. We're always trying to be the best. We're always trying to show up and be first or do this and do that, when all you're really doing is reacting off of those childhood stuff. So the best thing you could do today for you is find out who you are. And whoever you are, what makes you you? What have you brought forth in this life that you had no control over? What was handed to you as a child? What deep emotional thoughts you have that you've brought along into your adulthood that is keeping you from love, that is keeping you from receiving love, that's keeping you from not trusting in love? And again, I'm not talking about just relationships, because believe it or not, this love thing is affected across the board. Across the board. If we were praying more with faith and if we were just loving as God said we should love, the world would be a much better place. Instead, we are self-motivated. We are self-seekers. We are always trying to just show up and be the first one to do this and do that, or say this and say that. self-gratification. And the Bible speaks of that as well. I think it's in 2 Timothy. But this is about you. And that's another thing. Let no one tell you that you should not love yourself first, because there's nothing you can do for me if you don't love you first. Absolutely nothing. Look up on self-love. Read more. You know, turn off the TVs. Satan has put so many distractions in our life to keep us from praying, to keep us from reading, to keep us from doing things that will help us grow beyond, so that we can get to where God would have us to be. What is our purpose? You know, I gave you some of the objective for this show or this series. And it's about God's peace, God's perspective, and God's purpose for your life. We should have peace that surpasses all in every situation. Every situation. I was reminded of that tonight. When I read over that again tonight, that peace and his perspective and his purpose, if you have those things, that means you're allowing, no matter what, God, your peace is enough for me. Your peace surpasses all, no matter my circumstances, no matter what it looks like, no matter if I have love in my life or I don't have love in my life. His perspective is just about your will for my life, giving in to God, surrendering into God. And his purpose is about knowing what is God's purpose for your life. Because, see, my purpose is different from God's purpose. Or let me say it was. It was. I'm finding that my purpose means nothing. And the more that I try to change my heart and who I am and become more Christ-like, the things I want are different. The things I need in my life are different. The people I want in my life are different. So a lot of these things, again, a lot of things that we go through, I really don't believe we need to bring God into them. Because it's about, a lot of these things we go through are really about the choices that we've made in life. Now, can God take that and make it for our good? Absolutely, he can. Absolutely. But are we growing through what we're going through? And that's what we should be doing. That's exactly what we should be doing. I want to give you one more ticket. Do you have anything? I want to share one more thing with you on love. And I really do believe, I may have read this one last week, and I have a few more that I want to share with you, but I'm going to start. This is on God's love as well. I'm going to read you a verse first. We were talking about what real love is last week, and again, that just depends on where you are in your life and a lot of who, your childhood, your upbringing, and so forth. So I'm going to read to you, this again is on God's love. God's love does not hinge on yours. The abundance of your love does not increase his. The lack of your love does not diminish his. Your goodness does not enhance his love, nor does your weakness dilute it. God loves you simply because he has chosen to do so. He loves you when you don't feel lovely. He loves you when no one else loves you. Others may abandon you, divorce you, and ignore you. But God will love you always, no matter what. That every time I read about God's love, it makes me look at myself and say, am I loving this way? Because remember, God says to love others as he has loved us. So it makes me look and see, am I loving this way? And again, I'm telling you, people, studying this topic made me realize I really didn't have a clue of what love really, really is. And if someone asked you to define that for yourself today, could you? Could you really define it in a way where it makes you understand that you're on target here, that you know exactly what it is, you know how to receive it, you know how to give it, and it's unconditional? Is it unconditional in your life? We'll come back to love in just a second, unless you all have something that you want to share. I do want to touch on family some tonight as well, and then, because it does tie into it, the way we love our family, You know, the word tells us to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And a lot of people have taken, as we do a lot of things in the Bible, I think we take it out of context sometimes, meaning the neighbor. People, a lot of people put more emphasis on walking out of the house and loving more than they do in the house. You know, a lot of people will walk outside and say hello to the neighbor and have passed five or six people in the house. That goes back to respect. Love is respect. You know, love is truly unconditional. Truly unconditional. And truly is not based on how you, if you love someone and you can cut it off just as quickly as it came on because of something that they said or they did, you really have to question initially that love, that initial love, because again, there is no way that I can then cut my love off for Brandon. Now again, I can get angry with him. I can really want to do some things to him. I really can and have, but I've never not loved him. And as I look at God, we being children of God, that's how God feels for us. As many things that as many oops that I've made, as many times as I've prayed this prayer and said, God, I'm going to get through this, I'm going to get over this, and here I am again. Tika and I always, and I think we shared this, Tika's grandmother is no longer with us as well, and one of my grandmothers that I lost at a very early age, and I lived that every single day. I lived that every single day, and I think I still live it because I so wonder, would my life have been different? And I'm not saying that I just had an awful, awful life, so don't take it out of context there, but you always have that person in life that you think, would my life have been different had this person just stayed around a little bit longer? You know, and so Tika and I really do talk about sometimes that her grandmother was Mama He, and my grandmother was Nanny B, and we talk about that they're together up there telling the Lord, just give them one more chance. They're going to get it right this time. And we laugh about it, but it brings some humor, too, when we get in our rut, when we mess up, and we, you know, because a lot of times I'll say that God is not going to let go of me for many reasons, because that's just who God is. But also, I think God really has told some people that have prayed for me, my grandmother being one of them, that, you know, there's a lady who serves me up here with me, and her desire, her prayers will not go unanswered. So you can do this. I really feel like God saying, you can do this your way, you can do it my way, you can take the long road, you can take the short road, but the end of the road is going to be my will. It's going to be the prayers that the people that loved you have prayed for you. They will come to terms. So we do make light of that, just saying that, you know, they're up there with God, and they're just saying, we just see them walking in there like, it's me again, I know what she did, I know, you know.
I do want to say something about love. Just as Tammy mentioned, our grandmothers, and my grandmother was very, very extremely influential in my life. But for the most part, Tammy says, you know, would we be different if our grandmothers had stayed around a little longer? But I can honestly assure you that I am different for the time that my grandmother was in my life. I look at love, and I believe that a lot of us love based on the way we were loved. And just because it was based on the way we were loved, it doesn't mean it was the true definition of love. But where there was love lacking, we believe that that is still love anyway. Just because it was our parent, we believe that they loved us anyway. Even if they didn't know how to love us, even if their version of love was dysfunctional, that's what we associate love with. So a lot of us don't know how to love. And I truly believe my grandmother loved the Lord, and in her actions and in her words, she showed love to me. And I believe that that's why I have such a love for people. And Tammy's the same way. We even love the people who other people look at them and say, why do you love them? We are different, and I truly believe we are different because of the unconditional love that our grandmother showed us. it just gave us a different understanding because we knew that they loved God. And we heard them tell us how they loved God. We heard them teach us about God, and we saw the way that they loved us. And so when we saw the way that they loved us,
and
it didn't,
the way they lived their lives.
And the way they
That's
lived their lives. It was according to
right.
His word. And so it makes it easy for us to go out and love people that way. And I have such a love for people, and I just thought that most people were like me, but I look at the way other people say that they love their spouse or the way that they love their child or the way that they love their mother, and then I watch their behavior, I watch their actions, and to me, I don't see them displaying love, but to themselves, they say, I do love her, or I do love him, or I do love my child, or I do love my neighbor, but it doesn't show in their actions at all, and so a lot of us associate love, and we love others the way love was shown or taught to us, even if it was dysfunctional. But another thing about our grandmother's love is it's made it to where not only am I different because of the time that I was with her, but I really want to go out, and it's something I believe Tammy has in her too. It is something that not only do we want to get the highest value of what God wants for us and how he wants us to love, but we truly desire to go out and let other people know as well. This is what God's love means, and this is what we want to show others. It's like it's a seed that has been planted in us that no matter what, it continues to be watered by what was taught and instilled and put into us. And it's something that we want to take this seed, and we want to go out and plant it in other people. Just because I don't, when you see hurting people, you don't even have to know them or have a super strong relationship with them. But when I see other people hurt, it hurts me. Just because I know that the love God has for me, and I want them to know, and I want to show them and help them to understand the love that God has for them as well, and for the people that feel undeserving of love. A lot of times we allow so much abuse and stuff to come into our lives because we feel so undeserving of that love. And you know what? When you have God's love, when you have God's love and when you know how much he loves you, it is something that makes you should want to go and figure and desire and seek what his love means, because you won't accept nothing less from others. And you will love and respect yourself enough to not accept a dysfunctional form of something that someone calls love, but you will know for sure that it's not. And so the blessing is, like I said, the love that we had from my grandmothers, even for the short time that they were in our lives. My grandmother was with me a lot longer because I prayed that she would stay around until I had children, and she stayed around until I had my second child. But I am different because of the way that she loved me. And I saw God's love reflected through her, in her actions, in her words, and in the way she lived her life. And I saw her love strangers. I saw her love other people. And I saw her basically say the word. I used to ask her, Mama, why are you helping them, or why aren't you turning them away, or why are you trying to feed them? And she would say to me, whoever I turn away, I don't know if I'm turning God away. So I don't turn anyone away. I'm not mean to anybody. I love everybody, and I couldn't understand that when I was a little girl, but I saw her love strangers. And there's a
certain love for strangers. And if it's one thing to do that and do it from the heart,
mm-hmm.
And another thing to do it, and to do it with resentment, you know, because a lot of times, you know, we'll do things, and it's not from your heart. And God knows, God knows all. There is nothing that we can keep from the Lord, nothing. So the very people that we walk around trying to hide and pretend that we're this and we're that, well, at the end of the day, God is going to be who you're going to have to answer to. You're going to have to account for everything. So it's one thing to do things, and it's another. And you know when people are genuinely good people. And when I'm in the presence of those people, I am just in awe, and I just want to remain there, and I just want to stay in the midst of them. And I think we are lacking a lot of that today. There are few people who genuinely love as God did, and it comes from that heart. that they're not going to turn you away. They look at everything I have belongs to God. So who am I to keep it from you? I've heard story after story. Actually, it was one of our listeners, and I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this. I think he's off now, but he reminded me, and probably a lot of you can relate to this. You know, he said, Tammy, we had nothing, absolutely nothing. My mom and dad didn't have enough food to feed their own children. He said, but the children that were hungry in the neighborhood, my mom and dad found a way. When we ate, they ate, and it was always enough. He says it was always enough. We never went to bed hungry. God honors love when we love people as he has loved us, as he loves us. God honors people that keeps his commandments, that prays with faith. You know, he honors. God's word tells us that we should be healing the sick, we should be moving mountains, that we should do greater things, even greater things that were done. Well, people, what's going on in our world today? As I mentioned, we have divorce rate at its highest. We have children that are committing suicide. We have depression. We have stress. We have disease. We have poverty.
And fighting families.
And families against one another. It's just ridiculous. So we are so quickly to, and I hear people say this all the time, that it's just fulfillment of the Bible. And my question is, so are you saying that God promised us what we only promised us what we're seeing? Because this book I hold in my hand is God's promises for you. It is a book of nothing but his promises to us. And when I tell you, it is a lot of good stuff. So when I think about, yes, this may be fulfillment of the Bible, but it's by choice. This is being fulfilled because of our choices that we've made to put God on the back burner and seek everything else, to seek to satisfy our own lives. Because I feel like if we would do more of what God has told us to do, and God's word says, you know, a lot of unanswered prayers are due to lack of fellowship, lack of keeping his commandments. And he says, if you love me, you will honor and keep my commandments. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. So when I say what's really going on, that's what I meant. I didn't realize that coming into this show, and when I think about trying to put this show together, when the first show on prayer and faith, I changed my topic. I remember that week I was just restless. I couldn't get it together. I don't know where what's really going on came from. I don't know how it's turned into almost 600 people listening to just two shows. I don't know. I remember doing the first show on prayer and faith, and I really felt like God was talking to me. Yes, you, Tammy, you need to pray more. You need to be on your knees more because there's work to be done. I struggled tonight to do this show. At 7 o'clock, I was thinking, I'm not going to do it. I can't. I don't want to be out of order with God. And I am heavy hearted today. My heart is so heavy today. It's just unreal. But as I went over my stuff tonight, you know what? I said, God, the very thing I come on here and say, the very thing I said 2 weeks ago, you knew that I was going to need it today. Regardless of circumstances, regardless of what people say, regardless of what people do, how they do it, I'm going to keep my mind focused on you. I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to seek you. And you will turn my enemies into stepping stones. You know, and so that's what I say to you all tonight. Whatever you're going through in your life, whatever, stay on your knees and you believe that God's word does not fail. And that's one thing, it does not fail. Now, does that mean there is work to do on your side? We can't just sit back. You know, I can't sit here and wait for my house to be cleaned. I got to get up and clean it. I got a stove in there and I got food in the refrigerator. I can't wait and let the food cook itself. It's not going to happen. There's choices. that we have to make. There's the decision that we have to make. Are we going to follow God and keep his commandments? Are we going to be in the world? And if we choose the world, I'm like one of my pastors said, if hell is your choice, then don't play with it. Bust hell wide open. Don't play with it. Do everything. Don't play with it. And that's where I want to get in my life. I don't want to be second-guessing. I don't want to be here today and there tomorrow and back here today. And I believe one of the true answers to that is keeping prayer, keeping the line of communication open with God, staying in his word, having hope, believing God's word, read, and you got to know God's word to believe it. You got to read it to know it. You got to have faith to believe it. And seek ye first the kingdom of God. And whatever things you're going through, take it before God. Because we're living in a world where people are, you can hardly go to the store without someone cursing you out. You may be going too slow. You did this. I mean, people are just angry. People are hurting. And as we said before, hurting people hurt people. We have hurting mothers who are trying to keep it together, who are trying to raise children who are suffering, who are hate, just hurt. So they hurt their children. It's not saying that they don't love them. People, we just got to be honest and step up and say, look, I'm hurting here. I need some help. God says confess one to another. But we're not doing that because when you do, instead of people loving on you and saying, you know, let me help you with this, they don't. So we hold it in and we try to be perfect people. And we're not.
So I guess we have to come to a point of, is it that we have to come to a point of we're tired of hurting? When we are tired of hurting, because when we're tired of hurting, it's not like we can just all of a sudden have this light bulb moment and we can say, I'm not going to hurt anymore. No, when you are tired of hurting and you really know that your way is not going to end your hurting, it's like, God is the blueprint. His word is truly the blueprint. And a lot of us that claim to be Christian, that claim to know God, that go to church, that say we love the Lord, we seek God, but we trust Satan. And when I say we trust Satan, it's because we trust what the world tells us. We trust when the world tells us what you're not going to have, what you can't achieve, what you're going to continue to struggle with. Well, this is how it's been in the past. You know this is how it's going to stay. This is as far as your family has gotten, and this is as far as you're going to go. This is the best you can do. We seek God, but we trust Satan. And when I say you trust Satan, it simply means you're not trusting his word. We say we seek him. We seek God, but we don't trust God. We seek him, but we don't believe what his word is telling us. We know some scriptures backward and forwards. We can quote the scriptures in our sleep, but we don't believe it. And you know that you don't believe it when any type of adversity comes to you and you trembling and you buckling in your shoes when you know that his word never changes. These are the same scriptures you've been hearing. Well, not all of us, but a lot, not everyone, but some of us, the same scriptures we've been hearing since we were children, since we were a child, since we were teenagers, since we were young adults, and now since we're adults, now that we're parents, now that we're becoming grandparents, we hear the same scriptures, but we don't apply it, we don't believe it, and we say, well, I'm praying, Lord. I believe you, Lord. No, we don't. We seek him. We seek God, but we trust Satan.
And how many of us, I don't mean to cut Tika off, but how many, just listeners tonight, you know, this is for you. How many of you got up and prayed this morning? How many of you start your day out with prayer?
Time for him.
When I tell you it is, and I shared this last week, and I tell you I had gotten off course, I've just been busy, 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 and I think that's why God was like, oh, you think you're doing this show for them? Let me tell you, let me show you. Because prayer was part of my life. I mean, especially when I'm home alone, I used to think my neighbors would think somebody's in here killing me. Because, I mean, I took it before God. There's been sometimes you feel like, Lord, if you don't come now, I'm coming to you. I'm serious. It's just, if we all will be honest, we've had those cries. We've had those moments where, like, you think, Lord, how much more? And those are those times when God, you know, has to tell you, Well, I'm here. But, you know, where we are was not, I didn't tell you to go left. I didn't tell you to go right. Matter of fact, I told you to stop. I told you to stand still. I told you to keep straight. So God is always there for us. You know, we open the door. He is always right there. I believe it. But when Tika said we read our word and we do all that, but we seek Satan, or
we seek God, but we trust Satan.
I really think
God's word.
What that to take that to another level is, even with love, you know, a lot of us look at society, and as I noted last week where one of the listeners shared that we are a society based on words, not actions. On words, not actions. So we're okay with saying that we're going to do this. We're okay with people thinking that we're doing this or we're going to do this. But when it comes to our actions, they're different. And I shared with you last week that I've got this phrase where it says Satan mocks at our tolls, laughs at our wisdom, but even Satan, he trembles when the weakest saint is on his knees praying. But he's not concerned about the works that we do. He laughs. He laughs about when we get out and go help the neighbor, because he knows that ain't where we want to be anyway. We didn't want to go over there and help him. Just as soon as we help him, we're going to be right back in the house talking, well, do you know I had to go over there and help, and I shouldn't have had to do this because this and that and the other. So he already knows whatever good that was meant for that, you've taken it away because you've gone to help. And instead of coming back and saying, Lord, pray for that situation. If it's something that you think is wrong, you're coming back, getting on your knees, praying, help, and then call the person, rather talking about it, call and say, would you pray with me for so-and-so? And you can apply the same thing in your family. And I'm talking to myself as well. So Satan, he laughs. It says, and that was so profound. You know, Satan's not concerned about even what we know, because he knows we can quote that Bible, we can quote that word, we can say what God says he will do, but do we believe? Do we really believe that God will do what he says he will do? If we did, do you know what? We would live our lives differently. We would read our word more. We would pray more, because God promises, like I said, this book I'm holding, God's promises for you. And he tells in this book, it goes through everything that you could be going through. And it tells you, if you're disappointed, let me tell you, my child, what I could do with disappointment. If you're angry, let me tell you what I can do, child, with your anger. If you're feeling unloved, let me tell you about the greatest love of all. God has something for everything we go through. But see, we don't go to the Lord. We go to the next person who is just as hurt as you are.
We go to the world.
We go to the world.
Hmm.
We go to the TV instead of prayer.
We go to the phone.
We go to the phone.
Instead of the throne.
Yes.
That's what we do.
You know?
We run to the phone.
And so that's where we are. We do have a caller. I'm sorry, I think. And I'm going to check the chat line here. Tika, I'm going to let you take the call if you don't mind. I'm going to check the chat line.
Okay. Okay, caller. We have a caller, area code 770, and the last four digits is 8021. Caller, you're on. Do you have a question, or would you like to, do you have a comment or question? We have a caller from area code 770, and the last four digits is 8021. Caller, you're on live.
Okay, maybe they hit it by mistake. I'm going to go ahead and take them out. And the chat line is open. Thanks to Tyrone. He sent a message that thanks for letting God use you. And I'm so glad Tyrone is on tonight, because I had a listener, and Tyrone, I was going to connect with you, because I had a listener from way back when we did the show with you that yesterday had lost your information, and they're not tied to Facebook or anything, and they contacted me for your information to make a pledge. And I saw today that actually you had started it up again. So I will connect with you. And for those of you who are listening tonight, I just really want you to support Tyrone, and I know I owe him some a donation as well for his ministry. And that's another thing. We really need to start supporting our young people. I know Tyrone is not that much. Well, I guess, you know, Tyrone, I think, is his 20s, if I think I remember correctly. But we did a show on him. He's writing a book, and really his book is about, you know, one thing it's about these evil forces that we are up against. We need to realize that Satan is working.
Busy every day.
He is working. He is doing his job. So we got to be on our JLB because he's coming to take every piece of your joy. He's coming to take everything away. And if you don't get on your knees, if we don't stay on our knees, we have yet to see. We have, and I very rarely hear people that feel this way, but I'm telling you, I feel it in my spirit. We have yet to see what is to come. 9/11, we have yet to see what is to come. And all we're going to have is what we know, God's peace, God's word, our faith, and our prayers. I truly believe that we have yet to see, what is to come. If we don't change our ways, if we don't put God first in our lives, if we don't give God the glory and the praise and the honor and trust and read his word and follow his commandments, and I'm saying we people because I'm right there with you. So pray for me as I would pray for each and every one of you that are listening or that have listened to this show. I will lift you up in prayer because I'm telling you, we are not living the life that God has intended for us. God says that we may have life more abundantly. Instead,
above and beyond,
we are angry, we are hurting, we are sending children out in the world hurting.
And we live
a
limit-filled
our
life.
Our men, we need you to step up and stay home. Women, we need you to step up and stay home.
And honor the head of your home.
Right.
The head that God placed at that head,
not you. And I'm again, people. I'm talking because I've not did it all right. So I'm talking to myself as well. And I'm not saying I did it all wrong either. But I'm telling you, when and I'm gonna say when I get back into a relationship that God has, first of all, that God has put together.
You're not going to repeat the same thing.
I will certainly do differently.
Mm-hmm.
I will certainly do different. And a lot of times we would probably choose differently because, you know, God says be equally yoked, be on one accord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can't allow you to be the head of my household or head of me if I don't even know who I am. I'm still trying to figure out who me is. And I said that just like I wanted to say it. So I'm still trying to figure that out. So how can I expect you to know who I am? How can I expect you to give me what I need when I can't even
tell you what I need?
I can't even tell you because I don't know. I'm laying down every night at 20-plus years old trying to fake this motherhood, trying to teach this child, you know, to do just certainly not what I did. And now I'm expecting you to understand all that and to love me like I need to be loved when really nothing you would have done would have been enough for me because I was not where I should have been.
I need to know me.
We are going to take a caller. We have a caller. I think this is Tasha from Atlanta.
Hey, Tammy. Hey, Tika.
Hi. How are you? Hello.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Tammy and Tika, you are hitting it right on the head tonight, and I so will mimic Tyrone. I think that's his name, Tyrone. Continue to let God use you. But, Tammy, you hit it right on the nail. My pastor, my youth pastor, said something that I just can't get out of my mind. He said, things have to die in you before you can live for Jesus. And I'm going to say that again. Things have to die in you before you can live for Jesus. And, Tammy, you know my situation last month and this month, I've been going through something that just terrible because I really think I brought it on myself. And I say that because, as you guys have noted, I've stated on this show before that I have a problem with failure. I don't want to fail at anything. I've failed at two past relationships and one recently that I destroyed. And I destroyed the relationship because I was thinking in my mind that it was going to fail anyway, so why not just go ahead and do what you can do to destroy it? And I did it. And that person that I, the person that I loved, who I hurt so dearly, would always tell me, don't let Satan ruin this. Don't let Satan come into what we have. And I did. I let Satan come right in and destroy it. But I look, when we talk about love, and for me, love means a lot. I thought I knew me, but I don't know me. I don't know me. I thought I did. I said, God, in 2009, when I broke up with my boyfriend in 2009, I said, God, I'm going to work on me. I'm going to get it together, because when you bring that man in my life, the next relationship, I want to be ready. Was this relationship I just got out of last month, was this bought by God? I don't know. But I can tell you that for me, I know when I did what I did, there's no way I could have been ready. There's no way I could know that I could have known that I was the person that I was the person that was using these words, saying these things, being negative, because I'm a very positive person. So where did all this come from? Anger from childhood. I would say childhood, seeing my mother get beat down, seeing family members beat up on each other, not seeing anybody in the family really love. You know, how can you know how to love and you've not seen it? You know, like some people say, you haven't, there's a God, and you haven't seen God, but you know he exists. So for me, when this relationship came upon me, I said, you know what, I'm going to treat it right. I'm going to do what I got to do, you know. But I was not ready. I thought I was ready. In 3 years, I said, you know what, I'm ready. But I was not ready because I wasn't through working on me. And I'm still not through working on me. God is not through working on me. And my pastor said, you know what? God desires to show up in the dead places in your life. What are those dead places that I don't want God to look at? God knows everything. Those dead places are dead faith, dead hope, dead joy, dead relief. You know how we put stones on things that we don't want to deal with? All the anger from the past, all the dead, just dead things that you don't want to deal with, dead issues that I thought myself that I dealt with, but evidently I have not. So even though there's this relationship is over, and I, Lord knows, I hurt to the fullest, but I know that this is going to make me a better person because now I see me. I see the things that I need to work on. God is first in my life, but my faith, that strong faith I used to have, it's been demented. It's just been, I would say, it's just been drifting off. Why? I have no idea, but that's what I want to find out.
Well, if you don't mind, Tasha, and I just, first of all, I want to just commend you, and I want to thank you, because it takes a lot to come on and expose, so to speak, to say how you really feel and what you're going through. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for being such a loyal listener. Tasha has not missed a show since the day this show began. And so I've come on sometimes and she's beat me on in queue. So I just thank you for that. And it also shows that you are willing. You think you are not ready. You are ready. Being ready is a choice. It is a choice. It is a decision that you make in your mind. Just as I made a choice when I will, and I know you guys just I keep bringing Brandon up, but Brandon really was life-changing for me. Becoming a mother, I was a single mother. Becoming a mother was life-changing for me. I was not ready, but I made a decision from the day I heard, you're going to be a mom. After I told her first, I told my doctor, I don't think that's right. You need to go do that again. And she was like, no, it is. And I said, no, you need to go do that again. So, but after she, and she did, and she came back and said, okay, it's the same answer. And I really wanted to tell her, go back again, but it is what it is. I was not ready, but I that day, I made a decision. It stops here. It stops here and it starts here. So being ready is a choice. It is a decision that you make. And don't look at what you just went through because, like you said, dying, you do have to die to live. There's things that you just have to get over and go through. And as we said earlier, people don't realize how much of what happens in your growing up, and we're hopefully going to get to talk about that when we talk about family, how it goes with you, particularly because we come up in a time where you don't talk about things. You didn't tell things. You didn't say what was going on. So look at it as if you had to go, well, not had to, God allowed this to happen, this recent occurrence in your life to happen so that you can still deal with some areas that may have been there that you thought you had dealt with. Because, see, you got to get rid of the anger in order to move forward. You can do nothing with anger in you. I'm a witness of that. Until you forgive and move forward and get rid of that anger, you cannot go into a relationship and be successful at it. You cannot. So this, you were able to grow through what you just went through. And if you can do that, don't look back. Don't look back because you don't know what you may look. It may be something totally different out there for you. It may be that same person. So don't focus on now. What do you have now? What have you learned from this? And trust God. Trust that He's not brought you this far to leave you or to turn away from you or to just make you miserable. You know, things happen, we heard from them, but you got to pick it up and we got to move on. And you trust that if that was for you, the life that the things that you have changed about you that I have seen, I've watched you grow, I'm telling you, and I'm so thankful. And these, because as she was, and I hope I'm not getting out of line, but as I saw you going through some things a few years ago, it got to a point where even I, and it takes a lot for me to step away from people, and I shared this with her before. I didn't like her. I just wanted nothing to do with her. It's like she's got to go through her stuff. Because people, we have to love. It doesn't mean I didn't love her, but when it needed to be her and God, and we need to be able to have that discerning spirit to know, you need to know when to step away mm-hmm. and let God do His work. And I did that. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, and God has truly worked in your life. So own up to that credit, own up to the changes that you've made in your life, and you keep moving mm-hmm. forward. You know that whatever mm-hmm. just happened, God allowed that to happen. All there's right. nothing that goes, it's the same 8 and 28, all things, Romans 8 and 28, oh. all things. You know that you right. love God, and you got to know that you are called according to His purpose. I know what you grew up in. I know what things you had to deal with. And for that alone, I commend you because a lot of people would have broke by now. They would be somewhere strapped up in a chair. So for that alone, give God the glory, give God all the praise because you are still standing. You put yourself through school. You have a degree in accounting. You take care of yourself. You have your own home. You pay your own bills. You don't have babies. You have did right. God, you have did some things right. Focus on that and move forward, baby. That's what you have to do. Amen. Wherever you now trust God that this is where I'm supposed to be, He brought you through, He'll bring you through again. He will never Amen. Leave or forsake. So don't you leave or forsake Him. You stay there, he's got you.
Yeah,
so
thank you.
You will get through this point, but you mentioned dying to, you know, this show is about dying to live. When the first show started, it was based upon, and still is, Galatians 2:20, dying to live. And a lot of us are doing just that. We're dying to live in this world, but we're trying to do it without God. And we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to ever be perfect. And you guys are still listening. You know, I'm talking because unless you have something, if you're coming in and let us know that you do have something, I'll pull you in. But this is just that kind of show. We help who wants to be helped, and if I feel like I need to stop and take the time, that's what we'll do. And I hope that you're also being helped by this. Don't continue to live in your misery. Don't continue to be hurt and be hurt alone, because we all have been there, and we'll be there again. Just get somebody in your corner who's willing to know you for you and accept you for you and love you for you and who's willing to stay in it. Commit to just being committed. And so many of us run from love. We run from being vulnerable to people, even within our families. And those are the people that we should be able to melt. We should be able to just melt in their arms. Or we should be able to just come and say anything to them, anything that we're going through, and we should be accepted, because you may be going through something that I will say, ain't no way in the world I will put up with that. But I may be going through something or putting up with something that you may say, there is no way in the world I would do that. That's why we're different. That's why. So, I thank you. I commend you for coming in.
Thank you.
And having the guts to speak out and to say, and it's big of you to say, a lot of women won't even do that. I messed up. We always say that the men mess up and there are no good men out there. I think there's probably, now I really think there's more good men than there are good women for whatever reason. But I personally think that we as women are so out of order and so out of line, and we are so part of the world. And it's okay to be, I'm all for, you know, be at a point where you can take care of yourself and add to anything if that's the decision that you collectively make. But I think at the end of the day, we can say men are dogs and men are doing this, and I'm just bringing this in because you brought up your relationship. But there are some good men out there who are willing to love and be in a committed relationship. They are out there. You just got to be ready for them. As you said, you know, you were the cause of this particular situation, but you just got to be ready for them and ready to move forward and leave the past behind.
Right.
I want to share something with you as well, with this being the premise of the show, Dying to Live. That was one thing that, you know, we're hurting so bad and we want to live, but the only way we can live is the old us has to die. That's what the word says, the old us has to die, because the old you is not going to allow you to learn. The old you won't allow you to grow. The old you will not allow you to embrace and grasp wisdom. The old you will not let you move forward. So the old you does have to die, and that's exactly what this show is based on, dying to live. And another thing with as you were talking about failure, me and failure, that was my sword in the back. I feared failure so much, it's like I almost thought I was going to have to walk on eggshells in order not to fail again. I didn't want to mess up again. I didn't want to do this. I got a failed marriage. I got a failed dream. I got to fail this and a fail that. And you know what? What I realized as I kept going to God, asking him, why do I keep failing? Why do I keep failing? Why do I keep failing? He has helped me to change my perception and what my failures were. Those that I thought were failures, that was my strength training. Every single thing that I thought I failed at has made me stronger. And everything that has come to challenge me and that has come to knock me down, I'm so strong now, it has made my faith immovable. It has made me unshakable. My faith has no holes in it. I'm stronger now than I ever have been before. And that's because out of all the things that I thought I failed at, God knew what was needed to strengthen me.
and it has made me stronger. And I remember when I went through a divorce and I thought, how did I fail at this? And then after I was divorced for 1 year, then 2 years, then 3 years, then 4 years, and I'm like, Lord, don't I deserve somebody? Lord, don't I deserve this? Or Lord, what's wrong with me? Am I too much of a failure that this is not coming into my life? But he showed me that even in that, he was growing me. He was weaning the things out of me that needed to be out, because all I want is someone that is whole. And if I'm desiring that, then that's what God wants me to be in that as well. He wants to bring that abundance into my life, but he has to make me that same abundance as well for that next thing. So your failures are not failures at all. Even sometimes we see them as failures. It's not a failure. It is not a failure. It is something that needed to be out of your life, and it is something that needed to grow something and renew something or restore something or build something in you. It is not a failure at all. Failure, and if you want to call it that, just say it came to make me stronger. And you, and I promise you are stronger because of it. You are stronger. And those things that we see that, oh, I didn't succeed in this, those are things that is training. Those are things that you know you will not repeat. Those are things that you know you won't go back to doing. Those are things that you will be able to recognize and see. If it's a certain kind of thing that you needed to stay away from, you will be able to see it and recognize it a mile away. You will know what to steer clear of. How would you know had you not gone through it in your past? That made you stronger. You're stronger now than you ever have been, and there's more training to come. But don't see it as a failure.
As she sat here and talked, I thought about, and I've only seen Tyler Perry once, and that was recently, his last play, where he was actually in the play and actually talked as well. And I remember sitting there, I can't remember the last play it was. It was this very recent one. My dad gets a job or something like that. And, you know, there is such presence of the Lord in his life. He blessed me so, because he sits and he talks about, this man has been through so much, so much. But he says, you know, I never lost faith and hope in God. He looked at every circumstance that came before him, that God was going to take that. He said, I was homeless, but I have a mansion. He said, I was jobless, but I've created jobs. I have a business. You know, can you imagine what it would be like to be homeless and still call on the Lord?
That's a mindset.
Trust God?
That's a mindset. That's a renewed mindset.
Right. But when he talked, you just knew that it was not fake. You knew that this man really, and he says, my mom taught me to always trust God in every situation, every circumstance. He said, I saw my mom trust God. She taught him that. That's why mothers, fathers, it is so much that you can give to your children through the way that you live your lives, the way that you respond to life, what you take out of life, what you receive from life. Mothers, fathers, wake up. Sisters, brothers,
Tammy.
Okay. Tasha, thank you.
Tammy.
You have something that you want to share?
Yeah, Tammy, can you hear me?
Yes.
Let me say one thing, and this to our women, and this to all women. If you have little girls, if you've been in past relationships that didn't work, and if you have a little girl or a young teenage girl or even an adult daughter, please don't let her hear you say things like, I don't need a man. I don't want a man. There are no good men out there. You just don't know how much that can affect a child's life, a young girl's life, even a young adult girl, even her life, by hearing her mother say, a man can't do nothing for me. Really? When you got a daughter who first wants a husband and then wants kids, and all you can talk about is the negative things of a man? I don't want to hear that.
You look at young girls who are becoming, you know, we hear, I know in this area, the number of young girls that are saying that they are now lesbians is just you wonder what is going on, what is this fad about? And some people call
teenagers.
It a fad,
yeah,
you know, some people
teenagers.
But they are this is just, and this has been in the last few years where it's just the number of young girls that are going that route. We are losing everything and everybody to Satan. It just really does appear that way. But yet, we still have churches going up every corner. We have the churches full every Sunday. You know?
If people were applying what they were learning in church, we wouldn't
exactly.
see what we see in society
exactly.
today.
Exactly.
The church is a field on Sunday.
Thank you for sharing that, Tasha. And I really hope, like I said, that there have been so many listeners to these last two shows, and I'm hoping that many people will listen to that and take that, and because you brought that up, I want to say to mothers too, stop letting every man, Tom, Dick, and Harry, in your house and over your young girls.
Don't let them in.
Stop it.
Don't let them in.
You know, come on.
Set the example. I don't care what you tell your daughters to do, they're going to do what they see you do. Just know that your words will not make the type of impact that your actions will. Your daughters see you. I have three daughters, so I have to practice what I preach because I refuse to be a hypocrite. So I'm not going to do what I'm telling them not to do. I just won't. And you know what? If I haven't allowed anyone to come into my home to where I can introduce my daughters to, because I don't even see a future in that. That is very good, Tasha, with you saying that with women. Don't say stuff like that to your daughters, because I believe that's why so many young girls making that type of wrong, confused decisions, because they watch their mothers with failed relationships. They watch their mothers tolerate nonsense, and they just instantly tell themselves, I'm not going to go through that.
And fathers, too. You know, I've heard this so many times that the best thing that a father can do for a child is love their mama.
Hmm.
Is allow that child to see them love and respect their mom. And you can do this even if you're not with the mom. If you're not an item, if you're not a couple, you can still let them see you.
Respect,
and this is for a son and a daughter. You know, so there's so much to take from this show. That's why I said, if we think about prayer and faith and this series was love and family tonight, and the next one is relationship and fear. You know, I'm going to briefly talk on family a bit. We have just about 8 minutes to go, and I would at least want to introduce the family side of it. Tasha, was there anything else you wanted to add?
No, thank you guys so much. Thank you, Tammy. Thank you, Tika.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It thank so much.
You again. Okay, I want to talk just on family, and we'll... You know, everybody, we all have family. We've been born into family, or we've created our, you know, sometimes you have to make your friends your family. Whatever your family is, I was so trying to get in touch with a young lady that had written a book, and she wrote this book because she said she realized that the family structure has changed. In some cases, children may feel, it's a children's book, and she said children may feel because they don't have the traditional family, the mother and the father, the sister and the brother, you know, the white picket fence, so to speak, that they may not have a family. And so when you think of that way, you think about orphanage children who are adopted, that is their family. So your family is who loves and accepts you and who treats you with love and who respects you. You know, and we have to learn to do that to one another. We don't. And so if we don't do that as family, what would we expect in the world? What are we expecting from strangers, from people who know us and who could care less about our well-being? Of course, I want to ask, leave you with this on family. Of course, everybody knows what family is, so to speak. And your traditional family is your mother, your father, your siblings, and your relatives, your aunts and your uncles and things like that. I say to you today, what does your family mean to you? What is your family structure? You know, and what do you receive from your family? If you could change your family, you know, would you? do you think family, again, is just who the family that you're born into? How does your family structure affect how you live or affect how you view society or even what you can do in society? Because, see, your children will look at what you do and the goals that you set for yourself or the lack thereof, and they will think, well, I can't do this. My mom couldn't. My dad couldn't. And even if you couldn't or you didn't, you pushed them to do so. You pushed them even further. And basically, I'm going to go over, you know, of course, some people were just blessed, and they seem like they have that perfect family. Of course, there's never that perfect family. We all have stuff. But it's just how you go through that stuff, how you accept people through that stuff. How do you? So mothers, of course, we all know what mothers are. But, you know, mothers are here to nurture and that, to be the nurturing part in that family, to help us bring understanding to our flaws, to our strengths, to our limits, and to our capabilities. You know, we look and we try to model our lives of what we see. And fathers, and this is according to the word, you know, fathers are there to keep it in order, so to speak, in a sense as well. But he's head of the household, so if he's head, you know, he's out and about doing things. There's, God put this family structure together for a reason. He put it in order for a reason. So when we say that we love people and we want to start our lives with them and start a family with them, we need to realize that we're telling God that we're getting ready to honor what you have designed, what you have put together, and we're going to do this in a way that you have. And that's why God tells the men to love your wife, you know, as Christ loved the church, and he tells us what we got to do. Be submissive. Mm-hmm. So when we go into marriage, are we really thinking about that? And is marriage family? And how do we respond to our mothers and our fathers? And what do they owe us? Because I look at life as if once I became a mom, that's a forever job. Brandon, hopefully one day we'll have kids. I'm responsible for those grandchildren. I have a duty to carry my life in a respectful way for the rest of my life, because I need to be an example. I need to make a way where I can be a benefit to Brandon and his wife and his children, not a hindrance. So when you think about family, again, think about what family means to you. You know, for those of you who are in relationships and think about getting married, make sure you know who you are. Make sure you're in love with yourself. Make sure that you know what you're getting into. Make sure you are saying, you know, I'm committed to this love. I'm committed to loving this person, and he is committed to loving me. That we're not looking at what society is telling us. You know, society makes divorce so easy, and people give up so easily. And there's a lot of people that are truly divorced today that truly love one another.
But you need to know what you're getting into. You need to know what you're getting into before you say, I do. You need to give yourself time enough to know that person through all seasons, through seasons of how his family responds on things, through seasons of financial stressors, through seasons of when he's sick, or you need to know him through several seasons. Just don't rush into anything, because you're talking about the vows say spending the rest of your life with him till death do you part. And so if that's really not what you're getting into it for, if you're only getting into it until he gets on your nerves, or if you're only getting into this until you get tired, that is not what the vows say. So this is a life covenant.
Yeah.
This is a God covenant that you're making, and so don't take it lightly. Before you say I do, get to know what it is that you're making a commitment to.
Right, and your family is, just think of the family that you allow your children to see or that you saw growing up. You know, it's your guideline to your life. It's your first view of what my life might be. What my life might be. And I remember in working at the school, we used to tell kids, no matter what you see is going on in your life does not have to, this life does not have to be your life. You can make some decisions and choices and have a different life. We are down for time. We're going to pick up next week on family again, just a little bit, and then we're going to talk about relationships. And this is just overall relationships, because this kind of has fallen into relationship. And we're going to talk about fear, and then we're going to end this series. Thank you all for listening. I hope that you've been blessed. I hope that you've taken something. Please go out and pray more. Read your word. Have faith. Have hope. And get someone in your life that you can share with your hurts, your pain, that can pray with you, that can trust God and believe with you. Thank you for listening. Please tell someone about the show. Please pray for me. I'm struggling with areas of forgiveness and things like that in my life that I feel are keeping me, that are hindering my growth with the Lord. Please pray for me. I will pray for you. And thank you again for listening to the show. Have a good night.